the people in the church might discover this passion, this spirit that is at work in their lives, a spirit of love and passion that can accomplish, the Bible says, abundantly more than you can possibly imagine. Well, we're talking Reformation today. We're talking Reformed and always reforming. I think there's a new way of preaching that's soon going to challenge me, and it's called slam poetry. And when I was thinking about this passion that Paul was talking about, and I'm going to get to in a second, that I think actually Luther was talking about, is I ran across this on YouTube. Here it is.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was 3. He would knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. Good morning, Papa. And my papa, he would tell me that he loved me. We shared a game. Knock, knock. Until that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway.
While they're doing that, they're going to wave when they're ready. This is called ad-libbing. What I want to eventually get to is Luther. And what I want to get to, what Luther is really about, back in 1517, October 31st, actually, what Luther was about, he taught university. He was an Augustinian monk teaching theology. And he was struggling with the church because he thought the church lost its way. So he wrote 95 theses on the nature of the church. And many of those theses were ideas he had to reform the church, to call the church to what God intended it to be. And he nailed those 95 theses on the door. But what of the Wittenberg Castle, the big, big cathedral church that was across the street from the university? But what we need to realize is, in his day, that was like writing a letter to the editor in the newspaper. That's actually what people did. That it was the door. They would nail things to the door to say, hey, let's have conversation about this. Let's debate this. Let's kind of get invested in this. And that's where the whole conversation would be about. So Luther never, ever, I don't think he would, well, I can't stop in the middle. I don't think he ever intended to start a new church. What he wanted to do is engage people. Have we lost our spirit? Have we lost our passion? Have we lost what the church is intended to be? And speaking of spirit and passion, let's try this again.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was 3. He would knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms.
Never mind. Forget it. But this is amazing, by the way. If you go on YouTube and just do knock knock, if you go Google YouTube knock knock, search it, you'll find it. It'll blow your socks off. Where was I? Pounding on the door, knocking on the door, the 95 theses on the door. So Luther, by the way, I don't think he ever intended to start a new church. One of the things that really bugged him, by the way, saints. That's why he did it on October 31st, was All Hallows' Eve, the All Saints' Day, right prior to All Saints' Day. Because what he really was about, saints were virtuous. In fact, saints were regarded to have more virtue than they really needed. And because they had so much extra virtue, the church started to sell this wonderful thing called indulgences, which means you could buy some of the extra virtue that the saint had left over, which would buy you a little less time in purgatory. So that's what the church was about. And Paul was thinking, you know, I don't think that's right. You know, what's fascinating to us is we think about that, we look at that. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Go like this. What I wonder, though, is in 200 years' time, will they look back at us and go, wasn't that ridiculous? I can't believe they practiced their faith in that way. And the sense that God's Spirit is at work amongst us, always working, reforming, reformed, and always reforming. And we need to be open to that Spirit. In fact, there's an amazing book. Not only Google this video, go to the library. There's a book called The Great Emergence. It's written by Phyllis Tickle. And what Phyllis Tickle argues is that every 500 years, there's a reformation. That we're celebrating the Protestant Reformation right now. She goes back about 3,000 years. And she chronicles every 500 years of history, there is this spiritual awakening that is happening in people. There is this reformation happening. There's this reforming happening. And she is articulating that we're in the midst of that reformation right now. You know, that God is seeking to do a new thing. Some of the old ways aren't working in the way that perhaps they used to. And we're not quite sure what the new ways are. I often believe, you know, that space between no longer and not yet can be a scary, scary space, but also a sacred space, because that's the space where transformation happens. So how is God seeking, you know, what the Bible said, you know, that Spirit that is at work within you that can accomplish abundantly more than you can imagine? How is that Spirit working within us now? There was a wonderful story of a father who took his daughter. I can't remember the name of the book. It's kind of like that video. Anyway, it's a story in the book. The father takes his daughter to church, and when they get to the church, they discover the church had been burned to the ground. And there was this charred hole where the foundations of the church, literally from the fire, collapsed into this hole in the ground. And this little girl stood there and said, "Daddy, where's our church?" And the father said, "Honey, look around. Those people looking at this hole in the ground. There's our church. The church isn't a building. It's the people of faith energized with passion and hope to be part of God's healing work in the world." But I think we might today go, where's our church? Do you realize this last year, 2008, had the largest loss of membership in the Presbyterian Church USA in our history? In our history. 104,000 Presbyterians in 2008 decided to no longer call our church their home. There are 2 million Presbyterians today. 40 years ago, there were 4 million. 50% in 40 years. So we might be wondering, okay, where's our church? And we could probably go and point to all of the problems, all of the worries, or we could be like Paul and get down on our knees and pray that somehow we might rediscover that Spirit, that passion, that love that surpasses all knowledge, that love might be awakened in our hearts and in our lives and in our community, and that love might be shared with the world. So if you were going to nail on the door the thing you want the church to talk about, what would it be? This is your part. I know the order of this is not going the way I kind of had it in my head, but we're just going with it today.
I think we should be inviting our neighbors, the people that live around us, to 501. We should be passing out.
Awesome. We should be more intentional in inviting our neighbors to celebrate community with us and to experience community with us. Awesome. What else? Yep. Meg.
Go out and seek and speak for justice like Jesus did, even when it's unpopular.
We should have a sign that says, come in and be filled and go out and speak and work for justice, just as Jesus did, even when it's unpopular. I saw a hand up over here. Fantastic. So one, again, what Luther was about is we need to talk about this. And what's nailed to the door is our recent move of all of the youth stuff to Sunday and the desire to engage in conversation more around that. Awesome. Others? You have nothing to nail to the door? Yes, Bob. I missed it. Awesome. Is Christ the only way to God? Again, nail on the door, let's talk about this. Because certainly our community's talking about it. Our society's talking about it. Our world's talking about it. What else? Yeah. Awesome. Let's talk about what are the idols of our time? You know, what do we allow to get in the way? Can I talk about an idol of our time right now? Mount Blanc pens. I just read this morning. Mount Blanc, you know Mount Blanc, the fancy fountain pens? They are releasing a 40th commemorative edition, a pen to celebrate Mahatma Gandhi's 140th birthday. That's filled with opal and 20-foot golden thread to symbolize the spinning wheel that he would use. Not at all understanding that he used the spinning wheel as an act of solidarity to the oppressed and the poor. And the pen, oh, by the way, you get a little quote book of Gandhi's quotes with it. $25,000. $25,000. Now, do you think they missed the point? And I think that's what I hear in that is, are we missing the point? You know, nail on the church door. Are we missing the point of what our faith life should really be about? Well, I invite you to continue to think about that. Because at some level, that's what Luther was about. Luther was about, it's the church is the people. In fact, one of the key things, I believe there are three key things. Well, actually, looking at the time, there are two key things. Can you tell I'm winging this? I think we could benefit from nailing on our door. Let's talk about two of the things that emerged from the Protestant Reformation. One being this whole idea about grace, that God's love comes to us as a gift. We don't earn, we can't win, we can't achieve. That we can plumb the depths of that love as long as we want, and we will never, ever, 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 ever comprehend, because it's a love that surpasses all knowledge. It's the woman who goes to the pastor, you know, can help me with rent because they're going to kick me and my kids out in the street. And the pastor says to the people, can you help? And they give 2 years worth of rent. 2 years worth of rent. Yeah, sure, we can help. Like this church always does. Yeah, we can help. And the pastor is excited to go to her and then give her the money. Was that the spirit? And was knocking on the apartment door, could swear he heard something inside, and there was no answer. He waited for 15 minutes, no answer. He walked away dejected. She was inside. She thought it was the landlord coming to get the rent that was due. Where is the pastor offering this gift? No strings attached. And so often we approach our faith the same way, that it's an obligation. It's a duty. I would wonder if we, whether it be spiritual practices, whether it be small groups, can more and more open our lives to the fathomless depth of God's love. Yesterday afternoon in this memorial service, what I wanted to do is just make sure everyone knew that Too Tall and Greggy were beloved children of God. That was my whole aim coming in. As it turned out, I didn't have to do it, because the community that gathered spoke from their hearts and just said how loved they were. My 20 years of doing this, it was one of the more transformational experiences I've had, of plumbing the depth of that love. The second thing that came out of the Protestant Reformation that I think we could do well to look at a little closer is that whole thing called the priesthood of all believers. What Luther and others who followed were all about is that we all have equal access to God. You don't need a priest to mediate between you and God. You don't need me to mediate between you and God. You are all priests. And how that spills out in our real lives is that each and every one of us is called. You know, people ask me, when did you hear God's call upon your life? This morning? Because every morning we wake up, God is calling you. When we think about God upward somewhere, I think God is inwards, that spirit, that passion, that love that is at work within us, that's calling us into the world to be about those things that others say are impossible, like healing, like justice, like feeding the hungry, like not just making a difference, but making a different world. God needs clergy, God needs plumbers, God needs teachers, God needs moms, God needs students, God needs every single one of us. And we are all called. So what does it mean to wake up in the morning and know that you're beloved and that you're called to live that out every day? So one last story. There is this oil field in West Texas where the oil caught on fire. It was spewing oil 50 feet high. And they tried everything to try to put it out, and nothing worked. So finally, they made a reward. It said, you know, $100,000 if you can put this fire out. There was this volunteer fire company said, hey, we'd like to give that a try. So they got in their rickety old fire truck, you know, and they headed to the oil field with horns honking and lights blazing and all those sorts of things. And they were cruising so fast, they kind of skidded into the gateway. Without even slowing down, they crashed, you know, through the security checkpoint, and the volunteers were kind of hanging from the truck, and they were yelling and screaming, and they kept streaking and racing. They hit this dirt berm that had surrounded the oil on fire. The truck went 15 feet in the air, landed right where the oil was on fire. These volunteers got out of the truck. They grabbed their shovels and their buckets, and they started frantically, passionately putting as much dirt on the oil as they could. Some of them were so desperate, you're using their hands trying to put this fire out, and to everyone's utter amazement, they did. They put out the fire. So in the recognition ceremony, the fire chief of the volunteers was asked, you know, what are you going to do with the $100,000? He said, well, the first thing we're going to do is going to fix those darn brakes on that truck. Our future is unpredictable, is unknown, is exciting. You know that place between no longer and not yet? That's where transformation takes place if we're open to it. I just pray that we will be a church that is reformed and always reforming, a church that embodies hope, a church whose brakes are broke. We're going to collect the offering, and during the offering, there's a song that's going to be sung that was written by a gentleman by the name of Bruce Springsteen, and he wrote it after 9/11. Because he was so moved by the firefighters, the passion of the firefighters, who are called to give their lives to a purpose greater than their own lives. It's called the rising.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. I make my way through this darkness. Can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, a half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Left the house this morning. Bells ringing, fill the air. Wearing the cross of my calling. On wheels of fire come rolling down here. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Children dancing in the sky, filled with light. May I feel your arms around me. May I feel blood mixed with mine. Dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. Well, sky of blackness and sorrow,
dream of life.
Sky of love. Sky of fullness, sky of
Holy God, as we dedicate these